It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. I'm your host, Derek Brown, with my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer, as always. And we are going to talk through waiver wire pickups for Week 8. Adam, what's going on, man? How did Week 7 treat you? I know I just talked about I'm still licking my wounds from the horrible DFS beating I took. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm all right. I had, again, I was kind of similar. I had some good lineups and then some that were just, you know, Aaron Jones I had in the lineup and he only had six carries and stuff like that. So, yeah, it definitely wasn't the best week. And, like, this also probably isn't the best week for waivers either. Like, I feel like this is a really... I think this is probably the worst week we've had for waivers yet. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think this is... You know, we were doing the, you know, putting our notes in for the pod last night, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I mean, I guess you can pick him up, and I get, like, I don't know, I'm not really convinced.
It's I'm not gonna tell you it's one of the most glittering weeks for waiver wires, but it is what it is, man. I think there are still some usable players and some targets that we're gonna talk about here that can give us some production. If not just this week, the week after this, I mean, we got about a two-week window for some of these pickups. Before we get rolling here, man, gotta bring this up. Adam and I are going to be doing a Twitter takeover with, in conjunction with our really good friends over at Top Prop Sports tomorrow, doing an AMA live. You need to tune in, follow both of us on Twitter, myself at @DBro_FFB, Adam at @APPfeiffer24, as well as following Top Prop, man. It's a fantastic website. You're able to sign up with the promo code FTN today, create head-to-head contests with your redraft league so you can import them from ESPN or Yahoo. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about, they have a fantastic new option on the website, their Battleground contest, which are head-to-head, half PPR contests. We have two players head up against each other, and maybe there's a line. So, like, for instance, to walk people through how this works, last night, if you had DK Metcalf versus Alex Collins, you gave two extra bonus points for Alex Collins, who, I mean, obviously you could both look back in hindsight, Adam, but I mean, looking at that type of contest, I would have been taking DK Metcalf, I would have been wagering some money, and awesomely loving it to
Pete
the bank.
Pete Carroll would have, you would have thought, taking Metcalf in the second half. He was like, no, wait, I'm taking Alex Collins because they throw a deep ball to DK Metcalf, who is one of the most dominant players in the league, and he goes for 84 yards, and they're like, all right, we're done. And then they, second half comes, and they give Alex Collins like eight straight carries against the best run defense in football. So that was something. But no, I'm excited, man. We've talked about Top Prop a lot in this podcast, obviously, and adding another level to some more head to head kind of, you know, battles is always fun. So it's exciting. But yeah, that was a head scratcher last night. I'll just say that.
Oh, God. Freaking gum chewing run establishing moron.
Did you see him? Did you see him after the? I don't know if you watched the full game, but there was like a huge third down play where Jameis got sacked, and then one of the Seattle defenders hit him in the head as he was getting sacked, and it was a 15-yard penalty, and he gave him a first down. And Pete Carroll spit his gum out into his hand and chucked it. It was hilarious. It was great. Like he's just spit it out right in his hand and just launched it down the sideline. It was probably a better throw than Geno made all last night, to be honest.
Ooh, man. The Geno shade. Man, you're coming out firing today, dude. I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. I passed out through part of that. I was still under the weather yesterday recuperating. That game was such a snooze fest, dude. Like,
it was bad.
These primetime matchups that, like, and maybe it would have been better, obviously, if Russell Wilson would have been there, but Lord help me. These island games that we keep getting where, like, you have to look at NFL schedule makers and you just be like, what are you doing? Like, come on, man. Like, why do we get this kind of crap on Mondays and Thursdays?
Did you see what Mets just tweeted?
Dear Lord, no.
It's great.
I'm scared to even ask.
He put turns on FTC live.
He's quoting me on. Oh, the Pete Carroll, that gum chewing, establishing the run more. He is, though, dude. I mean, come on. Can we just, like talk about this? Did you see the Pete Carroll comment come out? He said, I've been here a long time, but I wouldn't have been here half as long if Russell Wilson wouldn't have been here. And it's like,
yeah, I saw that.
Thank you! Yes, the entire world knows this because you're bad, boo-boo. You're not good. Like, good Lord. It's Pete Carroll, man. I don't get it, dude. I don't understand it. And somebody needs to explain this to me. Because now, okay, we've gotten off on a tangent. We're going to talk about waivers, but we're going to get this out of here in the open right now. Why in the absolute hell, even if Geno Smith is your quarterback, you are facing a top five run defense in the NFL. You continue to feed a Jag running back carries up the middle.
I think DeMario Davis was actually in Seattle's backfield more than the running backs last night. Like, he was,
I mean, he would have been more productive, but like,
it was absurd. And he literally, I think,
doesn't make any sense.
I think they were talking about it on the broadcast. Like, they were talking to DeMario Davis, like, up leading up to the game and during the week. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I hope they try to run on us. Like, you're not going to be able to. I think Lewis Riddick said they've given up 200-yard rushers over the last 4 years. Like, and what really hurt Seattle, too, was the second half of the Steelers game last week when Alex Collins came out and had like 70 rushing yards in their opening drive of the second half. Pete Carroll probably saw that and was like, you know what? We got this. We're good. We don't need Russell Wilson. Yeah. We're just going to run the ball against everybody, no matter how good their run defense is. And he saw that in the second half starts last night, and Alex Collins gets like 7 carries in the first two drives of the second half.
Stupid. It's so absolutely, it's infuriating, man. It's like, look, I understand. I look at numbers and I'm a spreadsheet guy and what have you. And I'm sitting here in my mom's basement and I'm sitting here telling the NFL head coach what he needs to be doing. And I get all of that kind of context. But the other side of that, if I can see that this is a problem, why in the hell are you doing this? Because obviously it wasn't effective. It wasn't. You deserve the damn L. You deserve it. Like, it's ridiculous. All of this crap about, like, bad coaches continuing to do bad, dumb stuff. I'm not hoping for injuries, and I'm not hoping that Russell Wilson doesn't come back. But dear Lord, if Seattle, I wish they'd just keep losing games, at least to the point where they could get Carroll canned. Because it is ridiculous.
I mean, their season's pretty much already over.
Freaking mentality.
They're 2-5. They're in the best division in the NFL. They're not winning the division, obviously. And I know the AFC is better than the NFC, but like, they're not making the playoffs. Like, they're not better than, without Russell Wilson, at least, they're not better than like Minnesota and some of those other teams that are kind of going to be in that wild card, you know, 6-7 seed or whatever. So like, their season, like last night was a massive loss for them. So it's like, if Russell Wilson probably wants to come back regardless, but like, couple weeks, if they're 2-8, you know, like you're not. I don't know, man. It's tough. And Russell Wilson, there was the trade rumors before the season started. Like, I don't know.
Get rid of him, man. Get Russ a quarterback. I mean, an offensive minded head coach that actually wants to throw the damn ball. The defense is terrible. It's ridiculous, man. But enough musings and all these different things about Seattle, because I just can't talk about Pete Carroll any freaking more, man. Let's get to these wide receiver or these waiver wire pickups, my dude. First guy that's jumping off the page for you that we got to be picking up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, so upsetting and so disappointing, right? Because we get no usage from Miles Sanders all season long, and we talked about him as a player to go trade for. Schedule's opening up, but then all this past week, you see offensive coordinator Shane Steichen, head coach Nick Sirianni talking about, we need to get Miles Sanders the football. We need to get him the ball more, need to get him more involved. And they did that. He had 5 carries in their opening drive. He had 7 touches on his first 12 snaps of the game. And then he gets carted off with an ankle injury, does not return. And it sounds like there's no broken bones, but he's going to miss some time. So, I mean, we talked about Kenny Gainwell. He's probably made this list multiple times earlier in the season. He's probably been dropped a lot, especially this past week. I do think if you're expecting Kenneth Gainwell to come in and be a workhorse running back, you're mistaken, because Miles Sanders wasn't a workhorse running back. So why would Kenneth Gainwell? To me, this is going to be even more incentive for the Eagles to just abandon the run, right? Like, it's going to be so much easier for them to do that now. Gainwell, look, back to the prospect profile podcast days. This is like my favorite running back in the class outside of the top three. I thought he was immensely talented. I thought he should not have been drafted where he was. And he's showcased the ability to be a really good pass catching back. He had a receiving touchdown last week, but like, they're probably going to call up Jordan Howard and give him carries. Boston Scott got the three carries inside the 10 in this game. Granted, they were in hurry up mode and they were frantically trying to get back in that game, but Kenneth Gainwell is going to be like a solid PPR play in Sanders' absence, but he's not going to be like, I don't even know if he's going to get 12 touches a game. Like, that might be his ceiling. So, like, temper expectations. Don't think you have like this league winning every down running back, but obviously he does get a bump in deeper leagues, Boston Scott. And again, we'll see if Jordan Howard is, for the eighth time, I guess, in the last 3 years somehow, getting, you know, meaningful carries for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ugh, I can't.
It's going to happen.
I hope it doesn't. For their offensive efficiency, dear Lord, I hope it doesn't happen, man.
But like, you agree, like, they're probably just going to even more, you know, even easier reason for them. I don't know what kind of sentence I just tried to construct. It's going to be even easier. It's going to be even easier for them to just abandon the run. They've done it all season, and then the 1 week they finally expect and try to get Miles Sanders the ball, he unfortunately gets hurt. So now they're just going to be like, all right, well, we have Gainwell, who was a pass-catching running back at, you know, at Memphis, and Boston Scott, who really only has good games when he plays the Giants. So definitely keep that in mind, by the way. They play the Giants soon. But yeah, it's just going to be more 38 to 40 pass attempt games from Jalen Hurts.
I think it's definitely possible. I think the other thing with Gainwell is that, like, he owns the pass game role here. I think that it depends on how bad you're hurting for running back. Like, I think that he's definitely, like, the top pickup of the week. If you need, and especially if Miles Sanders misses two games, the matchups for the next 2 weeks are fantastic, Fife. Like, he gets Detroit and then he gets the Chargers. These are two teams, even in a split backfield, like, any game where he gets into the end zone and we're looking at a top 24 running back. And he's been running the routes. I mean, Philly, even with the pass game usage, like you're talking about, and they lean more into the passing game, this is still a team that's sixth in targets among the all in the NFL to the running back position with 48. So, looking at the matchups for the next 2 weeks, I'm willing to sit here and, like, how much would you fork over in Fab at this point in the season to get Kenny Gainwell, looking at him at, even as just a week to 2 week bye week, or a kind of like a replacement guy for a 2 week window? How much are you willing to fork over?
I'd say like 15%.
Yeah. I'm around there. I think that you can go as high as 20 if you're really, really hurting at running back. But again, looking at that type of window, I'm probably sitting somewhere in the 12.5% to 15% mark. Philly, for as bad as their offensive line has been at times, it's been more in pass protection because their offensive line is still, I mean, they're third in second level yards, ninth in open field yards. They're creating running lanes.
They've been top five in yards before contact per attempt, too. So it's like, like, you've seen Sanders, when he does get the ball, he rips off, you know, meaningful gains. And is Kenneth Gainwell as good of a runner as Miles Sanders? No, probably not. But like you said, it's a good point. The offensive line, it's been more in pass protection than it's been run blocking. And it's also been the fact that it's been so many different units all the time, and they're getting a little bit more solidified with Lane Johnson back last week.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is all to say that, like, Kenny Gainwell, he's worth the 15 to 20% that you're going to have to give up in Fab. I'm going to move over to the wide receiver position. I'm going to bring up a guy that Joe Metz over at FTN Fantasy brought up in his waiver wire article. If you have not been tuning into this article every single week reading this, it's been fire content, man. Get signed up with the promo code FTC today. Check this thing out. He rolls through a laundry list of really, really good players to pick up. One of them being, and a guy that we have discussed in multiple weeks, who for some damn reason is still only rostered in 19% of ESPN leagues, as Joe lays out here, and 32% in leagues in Yahoo. Why do people not still want to pick up Rashad Bateman? I don't understand it. In the last 2 weeks, he's flirting with a 20% target share. He's run a route on 76% of dropbacks. And he's performing. I know that he has not had a ceiling performance, people, but 1.91 yards per route run is a good clip. Now you look at the matchups he's got coming up. I don't care if Sammy Watkins plays. I think Bateman is the talent. He's been performing. He is going to be starting in two wide receiver sets over Watkins because Watkins is not good. Even if you talk about full health, Watkins has not been good. the matchups of the next few weeks, he gets the Vikings, he gets Miami, Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland again, Green Bay, and Cincinnati. Now, you look at all those different matchups. There are some good corners mixed in there, but Miami's been exploitable. Chicago is being propped up massively by Jalen Johnson. Their other two corners are hot trash. You look at the other teams, Cleveland's not defending the pass well. Pittsburgh is massively overrated in their secondary. And Green Bay, Jair's all they got, man. Even if he comes back from the IR at that point, there are other corners outside of him. Kevin King, Stokes, whoever they're going to roll out there, Rasul Douglas, they are not good. These are some good matchups that I think Bateman could walk into wide receiver three production, be a good flex play for you. What are your thoughts on Bateman and who's your next player?
Yeah, I don't have anything to add on Bateman. I mean, he should have been added.
We keep bringing him up and people don't pick him up, Fife. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, he should have been added like 3 weeks ago. I've had him on one of my main redraft teams stashed since like week two. Like, I've just been waiting and waiting. I had to play him this week and I got 80 yards on three receptions. Like, he probably could have had an even better game if Baltimore just kind of kept the game close and Lamar didn't, Lamar didn't play like the last like 6 minutes of the game because the game was out of hand. So, Bateman needs to be added. Let's just go off with some receivers here, right? I mean, this is obviously something we need to talk about. I mean, you have Alan Lazard listed here, and look, Davante Adams on the COVID list now. I think there's still a small chance he can play Thursday. He's got to have two negative tests before Thursday, but it's like timing-wise, they obviously play Thursday night. Will he be able to, you know, pass those tests? I mean, Adam Schefter on the Monday night halftime show last night said it's unlikely he plays. So,
yeah.
Look, man, I mean, Alan Lazard had a really nice drive at the end of the first half and did all of his work really in that game on Sunday, but Marquez Valdes-Scantling could return. But if he doesn't, and even if he does, I mean, Davante Adams, we know, 30-plus percent target share, like 40% of the receiving yards. Like, this is the guy. So, in a game where you're facing Arizona, who, I mean, if Davante Adams is out for this game, there's a good chance the Cardinals are ahead in this game, and Rodgers has to throw 40 times. Alan Lazard is going to walk into 7-8 targets at least. Yeah, it's like, this is, if you have Davante Adams on your team, you need to be adding Alan Lazard, because I mean, there's less teams on bye, obviously, this week, but, like, I don't know. If on your bench, do you have some, like, if Alan Lazard steps in as the number one receiver for the Packers, like, he's probably a top 30 receiver.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. And I actually added Alan Lazard 2 weeks prior to this when I saw they were going to get Chicago and then the matchup they had last week. And you look at Alan Lazard. He's matched Davante Adams in targets. I don't think people understand that. Like, he's almost got a 20% target share, and he's got the same amount of targets as Davante Adams over the last 2 weeks. Now you look at, like, yes, this week, but also if we're looking at the weeks ahead, like, they have Arizona this week. They got Kansas City the week after that. You could look at Alan Lazard as possibly a top 36 wide receiver over the next 2 weeks. So picking him up this week, definitely. Like, even if MVS comes back, MVS is not a high-volume receiver. He's going to come back. He's going to play the deep role in this team. That's what he does. You're not going to see a role change for MVS. Who's going to be the high-volume guy then? Okay, well, it's going to be Alan Lazard. And only two wide receivers in this Packers offense are full-time players on a weekly basis running routes. That's been Davante Adams and Alan Lazard. Now it's probably going to be Alan Lazard and MVS if he comes back. So I like Alan Lazard as a pickup. Regardless of like how you want to approach this, I think that you can even look at this as a 2 week window because of Kansas City staring at them after this week as a guy that you're going to garner value off of him, not only this week, but the next week after that. And then they get Seattle, Minnesota, the Rams, who have actually been giving up receiving production outside of Jalen Ramsey. And then they get Chicago again, who he just scored against. So you do have some weeks where Alan Lazard is going to be maybe top 36 wide receiver. If nothing else, he's a pretty decent flex play for your rosters, man. So I like the Lazard call. I mean, we definitely have to be looking at these wide receivers in matchups that they can exploit. And that kind of leads us down the rabbit hole to the next guy that you're going to bring up here with Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, it's just like we're starting to see a little bit, you know, Jared Goff and the Lions throwing to the receivers a little bit more. It's still mostly the running backs and TJ Hockenson, but I mean, Khalif Raymond had a really productive game yesterday or Sunday against the Rams, like you said, and he's getting, you know, he's not getting, you know, double digit, you know, 10 targets or anything like that. He's not going to get that. But he now has 15 over the last two games, 7 and 8. He's playing like every snap because like Amon-Ra was getting targets, but he's not playing a lot on two wide receiver sets. Like Khalif Raymond's playing every down for this team. Obviously Quintez Cephas is out for the year. Still no Tyrell Williams. Really nobody else that's trustworthy at wide receiver for this team. And we know the Lions are going to be trailing a lot. So he's not like a priority for me. Like, but if you're hurting at receiver, I mean, again, it's not like week seven, but you know, Marquise Brown is on bye. Some people have been playing the Raiders receivers as a wide receiver three or a flex. They're on bye. So Khalif Raymond is somebody maybe in deeper leagues to definitely look at. Like, there's a lot of receivers we have on this list, right? Like, yep. I mentioned Khalif Raymond. You're going to mention we have three receivers actually that are either injured or about to come back from being injured that might have been dropped.
Yeah, I think that all three of these names, I'm going to run through these top two and leave the man of the hour because I love the fact that you brought his name up here, okay? Vindication! Vindication, my friend! So I'm going to leave him for you. But Will Fuller and Jerry Jeudy, and I understand Jerry Jeudy is rostered in 75% of Yahoo leagues, so maybe he's not out there, okay? So don't hit me with, he's not available, why are you bringing him up? If he's out there, you need to at least look and see if he is. Because where he's walking into, man, the rest of the season schedule, Courtland Sutton, we know, has the deep role in this team. You look at their schedule, Adam, walking up, like Washington, secondary you could beat. Dallas, secondary you can beat outside of Trevon Diggs. Now they get Philly, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Lions, Cincinnati, the Raiders, the Chargers and Chiefs again. The Chiefs we know are terrible. You look at how you beat the Raiders and the Eagles and the Chargers, and with their two high safety looks, their zone looks, the underneath guy that's going to be fed volume versus those teams is going to be Jerry Jeudy.
And those teams have corners. Those teams have number one corners that have been good this year, that have been, like, Casey Hayward's been really good for the Raiders. Slay's been great this year.
He's been outstanding, like, career renaissance.
He's been the most underrated cornerback for the last, like, 6 or 7 years. He's so good.
He had a rough year last year, but his bounce back has been something awesome to see this year.
Yeah, but like he's probably going to be on Sutton. Slay will probably like all these top, you know, number one corners will probably be on Sutton because Judy's going to be in this. I think Jeudy was in the slot back in week one, like 70%+ of the time. He was the team leader in targets in that game. And the Chargers, the other team, like they play a lot of that coverage you were talking about. Asante Samuel Jr. has been really good this year. And it's okay, if that's the defense they're going to give you, that's going to take away the deep ball from Courtland Sutton, but it's going to leave everything open in the middle of the field for Jerry Jeudy, whose change of direction and everything is amazing for that type of coverage where he can just obviously catch the ball and then make big plays after. So, yeah, and by the way, Jerry Jeudy, I will be playing in DFS this week 100%. Not 100% of my lineups, but I will 100% be playing Jerry Jeudy this week.
I mean, I like the call, man. I like Jeudy. I like the matchups. If he's somehow out there, the other guy that I got to bring up, and he's only rostered in 29% of Yahoo leagues is Will Fuller. And I understand people want to make all the injury jokes. They want to talk about this and that and stuff. Will Fuller's a productive player when he's on the NFL field. It's just a fact, man. So him coming back from the injury, you're getting access if you can get him off the waiver wire. Devontae Parker, I don't know if we see a fully healthy version of Devontae Parker or even an active version of Devontae Parker for the rest of the season. If Will Fuller is able to step back into this offense, and they need an outside component of this offense. Mike Gesicki, Jalen Waddle have been really, really good. Will Fuller is still that dude when he is on the NFL field. And now he's going to enter back into a Miami Dolphins offense that's top five in the NFL right now, Adam, in pace and passing rate.
They cannot run the ball.
No. I mean, these are good things, man. Like, you want, what type of environments are going to be conducive to see ceiling leaks or production for wide receivers? We all chase the volume. The volume is there to be had for Will Fuller inside of this Miami Dolphins offense. And whether you want to talk about, like, you know, Tua being the quarterback, somebody else being the quarterback.
Well, I was going to say, Tua's probably leads the league in, like, what are you doing interceptions? But outside of the couple bad
outside
throws
of that,
he's made.
Playing really
he's played,
well.
Yeah, he's
man.
Played pretty well. And it sounds, I don't see why you move on from Tua at this point, right? Like, like you're not winning this year. They're 1-7 or 1-6, whatever. They're not winning this year.
Tell me your thoughts on this because the entire Tua, like, sweepstakes, like Deshaun Watson stuff, has struck me as weird from the entirety of this. It's like, did they hate Tua to begin with? Did they not want to draft him? Is this a front office versus Flores type of thing? Because you hear Flores come out in the media and he's like, Tua's going to be a good player in the NFL. I don't know if this is like a push and pull between the front office and Flores, but like, Tua's not playing bad, people. Like, I get that, like, we all want to sit here and throw out the clips of, like, okay, he throws the terrible interception versus the Falcons. If you go back and you look at that play, he got blown up in the backfield. This is still a guy that we need to sit here and, like, everybody wants to sit here and crap on these quarterbacks that are not even a full season's worth of games started in the NFL and be like, oh, he's total dog shit. He's terrible. He's never going to be anything. Off a guy that came off a massive hip injury last year, was thrown into a terrible team that had no receiving weapons. And this year, the offensive line's still not playing great. The dude is balling out when he's been on the NFL field. Like, legit. He has gone for 290 or more passing yards in back-to-back games. The pace and passing rate are there. He just threw for 4 freaking touchdowns, and he's giving you production on the ground.
How many touchdowns?
For a guy that does not even play in a rookie season. 4!
Yeah, I agree, though. Like,
it's terrible, man. Like, people are so reactionary and ignorant about some of this stuff.
I mean, he's going to struggle this week, obviously. But, I don't even know if you know they play the Bills. I just...
I know they play the Bills, and I know I was waiting for that. I was waiting for you to sit here and come in with some Bills.
By the way, that's why I didn't see what happens when the Bills are off a week? We get some really bad football across the NFL. Like, just need Josh Allen to play every week. But wrapping this up, like, I agree. Like, Tua has made some of the worst throws I've seen. He makes some bad reads, but so do 90% of the quarterbacks in the NFL at certain times. Everybody makes a bad throw, and Tua, given the circumstances, again, and like, the reason we were high on Tua is the fact that they brought in all these receivers, and he really hasn't had them. I mean, Fuller and Devontae Parker have barely played. Jalen Waddle's been good.
Jalen Waddle's also missed parts of games, man. He's been hurt on and off.
And by the way, while we're on the Dolphins, I'll take another L. I had no interest in Mike Gesicki. Again, I didn't expect, maybe I should have, expected Parker and Fuller to miss so much time.
I love Mike Gesicki, but I'll take that L too.
He's a full-time wide receiver. He's playing in the slot more than any tight end in the NFL. He looks great. And yeah, I'll take the L on that. But yeah, the Dolphins, it's just they can't run the football right now. Malcolm Brown's hurt, but like Miles Gaskin, they're not going to try. They can't run block. They're not going to be able to run the football. Their defense is not playing well, even with the cornerbacks healthy. So you're going to see a lot of pass. Like, just look at the London game. Tua threw like 45 times in that game, and that game was obviously never out of reach. They just can't run the football.
You don't think there's any running lanes left that are still paved from Derrick Henry last week running over the Bills? You don't think there's any kind of trails that he could still run down those paths? I mean, they were pretty wide lanes, Fife.
I mean, we're not going to talk about the clear hold on Jordan Poyer for that 76-yard. I mean, he did hold him, but like, that's such a bang bang play. Derrick Henry's the GOAT, man. Like, he's so good. Like, think about this. Derrick Henry had like 100 total yards almost last week and a passing touchdown, and you were relieved if you face him.
Yeah.
Like, what? It's so stupid. By the way, that play they ran where Derrick Henry takes a direct snap at a Wildcat and then pretends to run up and then throw the jump pass, I would run that play every time. You can't stop that play. If you bring everybody in the box, he throws it over your head. If you back up, he's running in for a touchdown. You can't stop that play.
I loved all the pictures and the posts and the memes and stuff. And they were talking about, did you see the one out on social media where it was like, only quarterbacks win the MVP award. And then instead of showed a picture and Derrick Henry said, what? Fantastic, man. Let's close this out. Bring this other wide receiver up here and these two quarterbacks you got mentioned here for waivers, my friend.
Yeah, so Michael Gallup got hurt in week one with a calf. It was expected to be like a 3 to 5 week injury, but he hasn't played in like 6 weeks now. He's designated for return. They said he'll probably be limited in practice this week. Still a good chance he sits out week eight against the Vikings, but after that he should be back, and he's only 41% rostered now. There's obvious upside in this offense, maybe less consistent upside with Dallas being able to control games a lot more often than the years past with their defense. But still, I mean, the number three receiver on the Dallas Cowboys offense should probably be rostered in the majority of leagues. So Michael Gallup, still out there in a lot of leagues. He's been dropped. A lot of people aren't, you know, patient enough to hold on to him. So make sure he's not out there. And then quarterback streamers, right? Lamar Jackson on a bye this week. Derek Carr's been playing fantastic. He's off this week. Daniel Jones, he's under, I think, 40% rostered right now. Can't rely on him getting a one-handed reception every week. By the way, Jason Garrett, you are an idiot for that. Like, your entire offense is hurt, and you're doing that? Bold strategy? Dude,
it's ridiculous what they do with Daniel Jones. Wasn't it the week before that, like, the entire offense was hurt yet again, and Daniel Jones is the only person out there just getting banged up to hell and back? Like, you almost kind of wonder, and I'm not sitting here saying, like, the Giants, like, are willing to, like, sacrifice Daniel Jones, but, like, good Lord, like, at what point does common sense kind of come into play here? And it's like, there's nobody out there. Your supposed franchise quarterback is getting battered to hell and back, and you're like, let's run trick plays to him. Ah, this is how smart.
It was an awesome catch, though. I'll give him that. Absolutely awesome.
I'll give him that, but still.
But yeah, for this week, he's got the Chiefs. I made a joke on the solo pod. I was like, the Giants will probably be playing with the lead here, so I don't know how much he's going to throw. I mean, the Chiefs are going to win this game by a lot. I'd be shocked, but like, we need to stop being surprised when the Chiefs lose to good teams because the Chiefs are a bad team. Anyway, I mean, Chiefs allowing 2.87 points per drive, most in the NFL, nearly 41 yards per drive, most in the NFL. They allow a league high 39.3 rushing yards per game to quarterbacks, and Daniel Jones is averaging nearly 33 rushing yards per game. It's a huge part of his fantasy value. Not to mention, hopefully, maybe, please get Kenny Galladay, Shepard, and Tony back. I mean, if that receiving group is healthy with Tony's emergence, that's a real, we already talked about how they had like a really good group of pass catchers entering the season, but like Tony, Shepard, Galladay, Barkley, if he comes back, that's really good. By the way, I'm taking the W on Kadarius Tony. So have fun with that one.
Wow. Pal. I love how you buried Kadarius. I was really surprised to hear that. Honestly, Fife, you buried Kadarius Tony's name as the third person mentioned in the
He's number two. I'm putting Shepard one.
I just thought Shepard's you were going to say when they get Kadarius Toney, then when they get Kadarius Toney and when they get Kadarius Toney back, it's going to be all wheels up for Daniel Jones. I mean, the fact that you didn't say that almost feels like if I didn't see you on the screen right now, it'd be a kidnap tweet. Like, I need to sit here and put out the search party for Adam Pfeiffer.
I just wish he didn't get hurt six snaps into that game last week because he was going crazy. But wrapping it up, like Daniel Jones, probably my top streamer, followed by Trevor Lawrence, who's coming off the bye. Seattle's defense has been playing better the last 2 weeks, but you take it with a grain of salt. It's been against a conservative Saints passing game with no receivers, and then it's Pittsburgh, who is Pittsburgh. So I still think they're slowly improving, but they're not a good defense by any means. And Trevor Lawrence is giving you a little bit of rushing. And Seattle just gave up a lot of rushing production to Jameis Winston on Monday night. Their defense is still, they have one good corner. That's DJ Reed. I think Lawrence is number two, followed by right behind Daniel Jones for quarterback streamers this week. And again, Lamar Jackson on bye, Derek Carr on bye, and teams still looking to fill in spots for Russell Wilson, who's on IR.
Yeah, I like those calls, man. Again, people need to be heading to the waiver wire, look for all these players, whether it's injured players on return, players that are also going to be popular. There's a lot of different targets for this week on the waiver wire. Before we get up out of here, got to mention again, follow at Top Prop Fantasy over on Twitter. Look for the details of the Twitter takeover, man. Adam and I are going to be doing an AMA tomorrow, as well as a lot of other awesome names from around the industry. For Fade the Chalk Live, we're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow for trade candidates before Week 8.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.